If you turn in your Bibles or in your bulletins, oh, the bulletins don't have numbers. Well, turn, you'll find it. Zechariah 3, 1 through 10 in your bulletin, or look in your own Bible for Zechariah 3, 1 through 10. After the first service, someone told me that they'd never heard a sermon from Zechariah 3 before, so maybe this will be your first time too. But that's okay. Let's hear God's word. Then he, and that he there in Zechariah 3:1 is the angel who is Zechariah's guide through these visions. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" Now Joshua was standing before the angel clothed in filthy garments. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Remove the filthy garments from him." And to him he said, "Behold, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and I will clothe you with pure vestments." And I said, this I is Zechariah the prophet himself, I said, "Let them put a clean turban on his head." So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord solemnly assured Joshua, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and keep my charge, then you will rule my house and have charge of my courts. And I will give you the right of access among those who are standing here. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. Behold, I will bring in my servant, the branch. For behold, on the one stone that I have set before Joshua, on a single stone with seven eyes, I will engrave its inscription, declares the Lord of hosts. And I will remove the iniquity of this land in a single day. In that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to come under his vine and under his fig tree." Happy Father's Day. How's your week been? For the past several months, and especially this week, I've been trying to help my father, who's 90 and has Alzheimer's, move from his apartment into a skilled nursing area because he can't take care of himself anymore. And here is a man who I think knows every bird that lives in North America. He's a bird watcher. He knows a lot about a lot of things. And now, this past week, he confused my one brother from my other brother. Called my one brother by the other brother's name. He's losing it. This past Saturday, my sister's son died, and we buried him on Saturday, 23 years old. That's part of how my week's been. I haven't found the words to say to my sister yet. Don't think I'm quite ready to say any words to my sister yet. On Monday, I was let go from my teaching position and teaching French in a cyber school that I've had for 8 years. On Thursday, I had an iron infusion because I'm so fatigued from anemia from my cancer that I really have a hard time. And hopefully the iron infusion's working. On Wednesday, I went up and I cleaned the gutters of my house. I don't know if you've ever done that job, but it's not just kind of leaves stuck up there. After they've been soaking over the winter, they turn into this kind of black glop that you got to stick your hand in and throw over the edge. And on top of that, our dog's not eating right. We have a sycamore tree out front that the leaves are turning bad, and I think it has a virus. I don't know if I'm going to cut it down or try to fix it. And to be really trivial, we're getting brown patches in our lawn. That's how my week's been. Do you ever wish that you could just scream out to God and say, God, what are you doing? Just pull back the curtain and let me see what you're up to, God. Do you ever wish that would happen? That's what Zechariah does for us in these visions. 8 amazing visions, and here we're looking at the 4th one, the one that's right in the middle, the one in which we see Joshua, as we read in Hebrews 7, Joshua, this weak priest who has to represent all the people of God. We see him there in filthy clothes, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Joshua is in a fix. Joshua has been living in Judah. He's come back from the Babylonian captivity. He's come back with another man named Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Judah. And he's come back with 2 prophets. One is Zechariah, the man who wrote this book, and another is Haggai. And here they are in this little town of Jerusalem, a town that had been destroyed 70 years ago by Nebuchadnezzar and is now a pile of rubble. And Joshua's job is to be the high priest. Only problem is he doesn't have a temple to be the high priest in. Why doesn't he have a temple? Because when they came back 16 years previous to this, the neighboring nations had written a letter to the king of Persia and basically, like a zoning board, said, we don't want a church in our neighborhood. And so for 16 years, because of this decree, they've got no temple. And another problem which Haggai addresses is that the people that Joshua is working with have become very complacent. They're too interested in building their McMansions to be concerned about building the house of God. And so Haggai says in Haggai 1:2, this people keeps saying the time has not come. The time that the Lord's house should be built has not yet come. And what God wants Joshua to see, what God wants Zechariah to see, what God wants the people of Judah to see, and what God wants you to see is how God sees the situation. You see, Zechariah, and I'll say Zechariah. I'm from Philly, so I often get my vowels mixed up. My wife always teases me. In our English Bibles, it says Zechariah. I always say Zechariah. I'm probably just going to call him Zach in this sermon. But anyway, Zechariah sees Joshua as God sees him, because God shows him that way. In chapter 3, God shows us how he takes a guilty and filthy people and cleans them up for his service. He calls Joshua and the people a brand plucked from the fire. I don't know if you can personally relate to that or not. I don't know if you can think of yourself as a brand plucked from the fire. I can very much relate to that. Because during my whole teenage years, I was extremely rebellious to my parents. I abused drugs. I abused alcohol. I kept doing bad things to other people, my family, thinking maybe that would help me feel better about myself. And all the while, I kept making fun of Christians, and I kept shaking my fist at the God who made me. And then when I was 21, God reached into my life and pulled me out like a brand plucked from the fire. I don't know if you can relate to that personally or not. And trust me, Paul tells us, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ and Him crucified. That's what I'm preaching today. I'm not preaching myself and my problems with my spots on my lawn and getting the junk out of my gutters. That's not the point. And it's also not the point about the mess that I had to go through as a teenager. That's not the point either. Because you also are a brand plucked from the fire. How do I know that? Because Colossians 1 tells us this. You were enemies in your mind and alienated from God. That's who you are, no matter what your past has been. No matter what the depths physically of your sin has been. You are just like Joshua the high priest, a brand plucked from the fire. The first thing I want you to see in this picture in verses 1 through 3 is that Zechariah is looking at a man, Joshua the high priest, that he already knows well. Jerusalem was a small town in those days. Zechariah was the figurehead. I mean, he was the high priest. I'm sorry, Joshua was the high priest. Zechariah was a well-known prophet. So they obviously knew one another. They spoke to one another about the common problems they had in their community. Zach has seen Joshua frustrated. Frustrated because he's unable to do his job. He'd been called back from Babylon. Now he's in Jerusalem. And he has no temple, no holy place to go in to offer sacrifice. And even more than that, he's got no holy of holies to go in once a year and put blood on the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua is a failure. He's been here for 16, 18 years, and he's not done what he's supposed to do. Rebuild God's city, rebuild God's temple, and rebuild God's kingdom. Zechariah has seen this about him. But here God shows Zechariah how God sees Joshua. And that's what's important for you too. You need to see yourself as God sees you, not in the struggles that you have trying to fix your lawn and your sycamore tree. Really. You need to rest in what God has given you because you are identified with the high priest, Jesus, in the same way as the people of Israel identified with Joshua, the high priest. I don't know how much you know about Hebrew words, but Joshua is exactly the same name as Jesus. Yeshua. It's the same name. This high priest Joshua represents the people of God to God, but he also represents Jesus, the high priest, who is your high priest. What's the scene? Zach sees Joshua standing, looking toward the angel of the Lord. So if you can imagine for a minute that I'm Joshua the high priest, and I'm looking in a temple, in a vision temple, because there is no temple that Joshua's really in, I'm looking at the angel of the Lord. and at my right hand is Satan accusing me. Okay? He's accusing me. Notice, Joshua doesn't say, I didn't do it. And even the angel of the Lord doesn't say, hey, lay off Joshua, he didn't do it. Joshua is clothed in filthy rags. There's no dispute about that. This is what Joshua is like. And the angel of the Lord, and I'm not going to try to prove this morning, but whenever the angel of the Lord appears in the Old Testament, he is always the second person of the Trinity before he became incarnate. We can even see that here in this chapter 3. Because the angel of the Lord speaks and says, the Lord rebuke you. The great I am, the Trinity, is spoken through this angel of the Lord. And whenever you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, it's Jesus speaking. Joshua, Jesus, the high priest, is looking at the Jesus, the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord doesn't even speak to Joshua yet. It's very similar to what happened in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. Remember that? The person that God goes after, he speaks to the woman, he speaks to Adam, but the person he's really after is the serpent. And that's who God goes after in this passage. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Is he not a brand plucked from the fire? I have chosen Jerusalem. My plans will stand. It doesn't matter how you breathe fire against my serpent and my servants, Satan. I am determined that Jerusalem will be rebuilt, that this temple will be rebuilt, and that Joshua, this weak priest Joshua, will serve me here. What are the filthy clothes Joshua's wearing? At the beginning of this book of Zechariah, we see things that are going on. We see the rich oppressing the poor. We've already heard this word of complacency from the prophet Haggai, who ministered at the same time as Zechariah. We see people who are eating for themselves, who only care about themselves, even though they have been returned from Babylon against all odds and are now living in God's promised land. That's the filthy garment that Joshua wears, plus his own sin that he knows about. The angel of the Lord knows that this accusation that Satan makes is true. But he accepts Joshua the high priest anyway. And look in verse 4. The angel of the Lord, that is Jesus, turns and speaks with complete authority and majesty and tells the other angels to take these dirty clothes off Joshua. I don't know if any of you men ever do something like this. You're getting ready for a trip. You go out to the car and you say, oh man, I haven't checked the oil. You've got your nice shirt on. You got your pants on. Pull out that dipstick and the oil gets on your clothes. And what is the word that you hear? You are filthy! That never happened? You know what filthiness is. That's what Joshua is. He's filthy. And The angel of the Lord just says, take those filthy clothes off him and put clean clothes on him. And then notice in verse 5, this is wonderful. Zechariah, who's watching the whole vision, he chimes in and says, hey, put a clean turban on his head too. Don't just give him the clean clothes, give him a clean turban. Why a turban? The high priest wore a turban that had an insignia across the front of it. Does anyone know what it said across the front of the turban? It said, holiness to the Lord. Zechariah sees Joshua and says, Joshua is my representative to God. If Joshua has a turban that says holiness to the Lord, guess what? I am holiness to the Lord too. Guess what? Jesus is your high priest. And Jesus is holy, harmless, and undefiled, is what Hebrews 7 that we read earlier today. There's nothing as holy as Jesus. And he represents you in heaven, just as Joshua the high priest represented. And so what's Zechariah doing when he says, put a turban on his head? Zechariah is enthusiastic about what God's doing. He knows that God's going to make this happen. And brothers and sisters, when you see God doing something good, you need to be enthusiastic about it too. You need to say, how can I join in? How can I chime in? In other words, what Zechariah is doing, he's praying. God, make this thing happen. And if you see a place where the gospel is preached, which hopefully you see here in Oakwood, you need to be excited about it too. You need to pray that the gospel will touch hearts and lives of people who've never heard it before. What happens next? In verse 6, not only does Joshua get cleaned up and get good clothes put on him, but he's given a calling. In some versions it says that the angel of the Lord admonishes him. But I like how the ESV puts it in verse 6. The Lord solemnly assured Joshua. Joshua, I am giving you a calling. Maybe another way to say this is that the angel of the Lord reinstates Joshua in his proper role as the high priest. But remember who Joshua is. He's a firebrand plucked from the burning. He's a failure. Do you know what it feels like to be a failure? Have you ever been a failure? Have you ever thought about what it's like if a medical doctor, for example, gets caught self-prescribing and then the medical board finds out he loses his license? Now, maybe if you've been a failure, you have people who you can go to and they'll love you. They'll love on you and maybe they'll accept you. But will they trust you in the future? That's a real problem for somebody who's been a failure. And what I want you to see is that the angel of the Lord not only loves Joshua the high priest, but he reinstates him. He gives him charge to do what he was called to do in the first place. God gives you a calling too. If you belong to the Lord Jesus, you have a calling. Your calling is unique. God is calling you to do something that no one else is doing. No matter how circumscribed and how small you may think your calling is, it's important. Look at what the angel of the Lord says to Joshua here. He says, if you obey me, then I will let you have charge of my courts and rule my house. I will give you the right of access. In other words, Joshua has a right to where the angels are. You know, in the New Testament it says we will judge angels. Your calling is so important. Now, I have never stepped foot in the building where Rick Betts works. I think it's called Trinity. I don't know why it's called Trinity, but that doesn't matter. But Rick has a calling there that God can use him there. And I can tell you this from personal experience. I know it's Father's Day, but this is for moms. Every single mother has much more access to her children than the father has. Almost that's universal. Her calling is to rule in her house. And if necessary, impose God's law on her house sometimes. That's what a mom has to do sometimes. Your calling is extremely important to God. And God wants you to do it just as he wanted Joshua to do it. God, because he has identified you with his son Jesus Christ, the great high priest, he gives you a calling just as he gave this Joshua, the high priest, a calling back in the Old Testament. And then look at what it says here at the very end of this section. I'm sorry, I can't find it here, but he says this. He says, the angel of the Lord was standing by. Right? The angel of the Lord is standing by. The angel of the Lord, that is Jesus, is watching this whole drama unfold here. Jesus, in his majesty, is giving orders to other angels, take off the filthy clothes, put good clothes on him. He addresses Joshua, he says, do it. And he just stands there in his majesty. Why? Because of what it says next in verses 8 and 9. None of this can happen except for what happens in verses 8 and 9. The branch has to come in. Let's read it again. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who sit before you, for they are men who are assigned. Behold, I will bring in my servant, the branch. Joshua, this priest in Old Testament Israel, was a sign. A sign of what? A sign of the great high priest who would come, whose name is the branch. And look, Zechariah says it in an amazing way. He puts together two terms here that have never really been put together before. God, that is the Lord, says, I will bring in my servant, the branch. Both of those pictures come from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 11:1 says there will be a branch, a shoot that springs up from the root of Jesse. And he will rule the nations. And then in Isaiah 42:1, God says, behold my servant in whom I delight. Do you see what's being combined here? Jesus, the great high priest, is a servant. Servanthood and kingship, because he's from the line of David, are combined in this one person. And that's what is so intriguing here, that this angel of the Lord, whom Joshua, the high priest of the tribe of Levi, represents, this angel of the Lord is the branch who will be incarnated from the tribe of what? We read in Hebrews 7. Judah. This Jesus is the great high priest whom Joshua in his filthy robes can hardly even begin to represent, and yet that's who he is. And when the branch comes in, God says he's going to do something incredible. He's saying, you guys, you Joshua, and you other priests are a sign of this branch who's coming. And when this branch comes, I will remove the sin of that land. And that land means Judah, but Judah as a picture of the entire world. I will remove the sin of the world in one day. What is that one day when all sin was removed? It is what we call Good Friday, when Jesus stretched out his hands on a cross and became that great high priest who offered not the blood of bulls and goats, but what? His own blood. Jesus is the high priest and the sacrifice at the same time. And that is what, that is who this Joshua the high priest represents. Now that's great. And it's great that you have a calling and that you are now his servants, ready to go tell this to the whole world. And then look at verse 10. Look at the results of this iniquity being taken away. In that day, in other words, in the day when gospel grace dawns, the apostles realize, hey, remember that Joshua the high priest back in Zechariah 3? That is a picture of Jesus. The apostles realize, hey, remember that suffering servant in Isaiah 53? The guy who is wounded and striped, that's Jesus. When they realize all that, on that day, everybody's going to say, hey, come over to my house for a picnic. Sit under my vine and fig tree. What am I saying? Verse 10 is a picture of evangelism. You invite your neighbor to sit with you and enjoy all of the blessings that God has. Maybe you think, well, you know, if I do that and I invite people over, maybe they might not listen to me. Maybe if I open my life up too much to them, they'll persecute me. Maybe they're not people I really want to talk to anyway. But I challenge you. If you believe that this Joshua the high priest really represents the angel of the Lord, the great high priest, that this Jesus is God's special servant, the branch from Jesse, then you are not going to be afraid to do the evangelism spoken of here in verse 10. In fact, inviting your neighbor under your vine and fig tree should be contagious for people who really know that they have had their dirty clothes stripped off and clean garments put on, that they are holiness to the Lord. Why? Because they belong to the great high priest Jesus, who has a permanent office, as Alex pointed out to us a few minutes ago. God is preparing a wonderful Shalom picnic. And here is what it sounds like in Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, and he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples. He will swallow up death forever. That is what this angel of the Lord, who is the great high priest, has done. This great high priest, when he appeared at the temple on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, said this. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water." Speaking of the Holy Spirit that he would give. Joshua experienced this encouragement. He knew what it meant to have filth and sin and shame removed from him, to be given liberty and a calling and joy. And you should realize that too and go live that way, rejoicing under your vine and fig tree and inviting other people to share that with Jesus. Amen.